every mu'min and mu'mina female. Every mu'min and every mu'mina has a common desire. That every mu'min has, every man, and every mu'mina, every woman has this desire. There's nobody who does not have this desire. Or that there is no one around us who will not hold this desire. And that desire is that may our life in this world be very good and nice and beautiful, and may our life in the hereafter be better and best and the highest, in the highest level. And this desire, with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah, after iman, after bringing about iman, every individual has this desire. Why? Because the people without iman, their desires are different. And those who hold iman, it's different. And those who don't have iman, don't have much yaqeen in the hereafter, don't know much about the hereafter, if at all. So they also have desires, but those desires are limited. And this desire for those is that our dunya is good. That's it, is the best, and is good, and is nice. But Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, iman has taught us something. Having belief in our hearts has taught us something, and very clearly and in a nice way, it has taught us in our kitabs, in our hadith, we get the message and a description, total description, that after this dunya, there is also another dunya. After the life in this world, there is another world, and that is more important, that world. And even the children, the small children, know about this, that after this world will come another world, another life, another phase, and everybody has yaqeen on this. So we have two desires, and everyone else has how many? One desire, one ultimate, that this dunya is good, and our akhirah is also good and better. So these are the two desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for our desire, you can say, mentioned it in one word, in the Qur'an al-Hakim, in a very famous word that we read. What is that word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with regards to both of these things? Allah ta'ala has put them together, merged them, and the word Allah ta'ala has used is falah. Falah. And those who attain falah, Allah ta'ala has defined them as the muflihoon, those who have attained falah. Now the mufassireen, the commentators of the Qur'an, have said a unique point here, that the word falah cannot be, given the definition clearly. You can't be given the translation clearly. The meaning of it cannot be defined clearly. It's a jamia word, a total, complete word on its own in the Qur'an. So the commentators reached to this conclusion. The mufassireen have written that we have come to this conclusion that the definition and meaning of this word is this, that our life should have goodness and the hereafter should have goodness and should be good. And beyond this, we cannot define any meaning. This is the meaning, they said. Rather, the meaning of this word becomes this, or is this. So they didn't give a definitive meaning. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a sketch of our whole life in this world and thereafter. Do you understand, brothers? What is the objective? What is our objective? That our dunya should be good and our hereafter also should be good. Now, when we speak about dunya, that the dunya should be good. Now, here a difference arises between us and others. And everyone says that dunya should be good. Dunya should be good. They don't have akhirah. But what's the difference between goodness in this world for us and those who don't have iman? The basis of their saying that the dunya should be good is money, wealth, woman, enjoyment, do whatever you want, etc., freedom of will, etc. Now, for the person who has iman, does he have the same definition for falah? For this, the meaning of the word falah, to attain the best and the goodness in this world. Now, the person of iman who wants goodness in this world, he's not seeking wealth and money. Why? Because these things are not in our control. These things are not in our control. Allah Ta'ala said himself that this has been written for you and your generations, that what you will eat, what you will eat in 1,203 pieces of food you will eat, and beyond that the 1,204th piece you will not pick up, because that will stay there and your fingers will not be able to pick it up. And I've heard from the pious predecessors, and seen, well, probably not seen, but you can understand, yes, I have seen, I've seen such a person in my life, that person, before death, some days before death, he stopped eating. Wasn't ill, unwell, and they said, Hazrat, why are you not eating? He said, no, my rizq has finished, my sustenance is finished, Allah Ta'ala has ceased what was allotted to me. Now, his life increased beyond that, but he didn't eat beyond that. He didn't eat, and after a few days, he passed away. He died. So we, when we try to promote our agenda, we being mu'mins, we want to attain as much as we can. But here, everything here, the point here is that even, for example, every piece and grain, Allah Ta'ala has decided, somebody has a BMW in his destiny, somebody has a Skoda, somebody has a motorcycle, somebody has a cycle, somebody has one wife, somebody has two wives, somebody has no wife, another person has a wife, who always pesters him and hits him, etc. So where does this system come from? From where? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided this. And we should put our hands up and say, yep, that's it. We accept what's in our destiny. So, why do we continue to promote our own agenda that we want goodness in this world, I want a house and I want it like this? There are many people I've seen in their life, they have never come out of a rental property in their whole lives. Now, they weren't mad, were they? They weren't stupid. They weren't silly. They came together. Two people came together to this country when they migrated. And one has now got warehouses and many shops and stores. And the other person continued to work in a factory and retired in the same way. So what's this? This doesn't mean that the first person, the former, was clever and intellectual. You'll say, oh, I'm clever and I made money and I did this and that. People say this, don't they? The reality is that the other person also was a man of understanding. He wasn't stupid and silly. They both came together in the plane. They both worked together in the same factory. He was a bus driver and he was a bus driver. But what did he become, the first person? What did the other person become? He stayed the same. So Allah Ta'ala wanted him to be the same, to stay on the same level, not to go beyond that. So our concept, why do we have a concept? Inshallah, we'll speak further on this point. Very good points today, and let's pay attention to these. A lot of islah, rectification and improvement for us. So be careful, attentive, listen deeply. These are very beneficial words. Now, a lot of benefit, inshallah, will come from this. So now, what's the scenario? That the foolish person is he who has this concept that our life, that the objective of my life is goodness in terms of materialism and getting things of the dunya. Okay, that person's foolish. Whether we get or not, this is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the definition of goodness in this world? To have good. So Muslims, tell me, what is good for me? What is good for you? What is best for me? What is best for you? What is the good life? Look, our goodness is that we have yaqeen and belief in the hereafter. We have more yaqeen in the hereafter than here. That the person who stated these words, we have so much yaqeen on what he says, that if he says to us that in the night that is day, then we will consider it day. This is the love and the belief we have in that person. With that great person, and he explained to us about akhir, about hereafter. So our objective, the standard of the Quran and the Hadith, is that the objective of your life and goodness in this world, the meaning of goodness in this world, is that my life should pass in this world in such a way that every second I am implementing Allah Ta'ala's orders, and I collect deeds for the hereafter. And I collect deeds for thereafter. The life of a mu'min, when it passes like this, then his life is the best life in this world. And if you don't have yaqeen, then come, let's go to the generation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best generation is whose? Mine. Yeah? Were there factories then? Were there warehouses at that time? Were there definitions of making, or ways of making money and wealth and amassing wealth? Were any of the Sahaba like this? No. So how was it the best generation? Because every person who lived in that generation had fikr extreme for the akhirah, and he had no other pastime. There was competition. How much did you wake up in the night? How much Quran did you recite? How much nafil did you pray? How much did you worship, etc.? This was their competition. So what we realize is that the best generation for the people of man is that generation. So what we realize is that the definition of lifestyle at that time was what? The best. To collect the deeds and to have fikr for the hereafter. So what we realize that until the hereafter, that the best person and the best life will be that who equates his lifestyle to that of the Sahaba. So brothers, Hazrat, Subhanallah, my friends, that the person who's best, he doesn't have the biggest business, the biggest bank balance or money. So don't criticize people who don't have these things. If a person has total preparation for the hereafter, he doesn't eat haram, he doesn't commit fraud, he doesn't oppress, he doesn't run after money, he's not greedy. And everything that Allah Ta'ala has told a person to refrain from, wrong, unlawful earnings, he doesn't do that. And he's dying, maybe hungry, and he hasn't even got a phone in the house. And his life is the best if he is following the right orders and the right lifestyle. His life's the best. So everyone should say, Allah, also give us this life. Say, Ameen. Aha, say it loudly. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How, what a great life this is. That this is the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. This is the true life, the genuine life. Do we understand now? So this is what? Ahsan. Ahsan, the best life. What is the other? So this is Ahsan, the best life. And what is the life of Falah? So Alhamdulillah, if we live the life like this in Ahsan, then we are earning Akhirah with the Fadl of Allah. What is that person making? He's making Akhirah hereafter. So if we have the best life in this world, then we will get the Ahsan life in the hereafter. The person when he dies, we can consider that it's just a veil is being removed. The person, or maybe he's overslept a little bit and he didn't wake up after sleeping. This is death for the person who has the great life in this world thereafter. That you do wudu, read Quran and Talawat recitation, you read Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and then you go to sleep, and after that you sleep with ease, and then in comparison, then that person who works hard, does the right things, recites Surah Falaq, Surah Nas, raises his hands, recites Surah Ayatul Kursi, three times his amal and according to the Sunnah, and he lies down on the right side, Allahumma bismi amutu wahya, Subhanallah. And then what happens? That Allah Ta'ala says, I won't listen to your request at the end. The first thing is this, because there are two parts. One is the dunya and the other is the hereafter. So that's it, the end of the situation. But it didn't come. I'm not going to get up. What's I'm going to do? So in the same way, keep on sleeping, and like a bride, you will wake up in the hereafter. Subhanallah, he doesn't know who's bathing him, giving him ghusl, where's he going, etc. And he's got the ahsan hereafter. And he will be like a bride. He will be transferred into the phase of barzakh and then to the hereafter. Remember, there are two jannah. There's one is the asal jannah, the real, and one is what? The secondary jannah, the secondary paradise. When the souls depart from this world, Mulanas are looking at me closely. What is this? That this is from the kitabs. What is this? That when the ruh departs from here, a person's ruh departs, and when a mu'min his ruh, where does it go and stop? It stops in barzakh. Allah Ta'ala has made a jannah in such a way, and hellfire, in barzakh, in the realm of barzakh, intermediary place, and the soul goes and it stops. That we hear in the hadith, a person after dying, person goes to jannah, the windows of jannah open. So in the world of barzakh, Allah Ta'ala has prepared jannah, and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was also in that jannah, in that paradise. So remember this, and when that jannah opens, when that paradise opens, when the asal jannah opens at the end, that will open when? When the last reward will be given to a woman, and that time he will enter into paradise, and that is the asal jannah, the real paradise. So brothers, a mu'min, he sleeps, and Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, and then he departs from this world. He's died, and because he lived his life in a beautiful way, the best way, he will reach to barzakh, his relatives, his uncle, auntie. Ah, how are you doing? Where did you come from? Where were you? He said, I just came with you after you died. He said, Subhanallah, well, I couldn't even realize 50 years have gone when I died. He says, no hunger, no thirst, like nothing has happened. Why? Because that person, Allah Ta'ala says, that person was greater than Allah, is Qadir and Mutalik, and he can prepare anything. Allah can give him happiness and ease, and he won't remember anything older. This happened to me 3 days, I didn't eat, and our electricity got cut off, and we didn't have water, and it got cut off, and this happened. People laughed at us and said we're poor. They never invited us, no dawah, no invitation, nothing he will remember. And it will be just like he was a king in the world, he will be a king in the barzakh, in the intermediary place, and he will stand up and wake up like a king. So this is the life of a mu'min. And what do we need? We want our life in this world to be the best, and we want the best in the hereafter. So رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So what should come in our mind when we do this dua? We're saying, Allah, give us the best life in this world, that every second we are living our life according to your orders, your ahkams. Yes? So this is our plan, my friends. This is our plan. This is our desire. And how many of us do amal on this? How many? Let's see, what is the percentage of the ummah who is doing implementation of this plan? And in this world, we want the best life, just like the best generation of the Prophet Muhammad. And we want the best hereafter. So after the best world in this life in this world, comes the best hereafter. So Allah, every second of our life in this world should pass in accordance to your order and your desire, O Allah. Because this is our iman, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that you should live according to my hukum. So now tell me, brothers, ahsan, our food, is it like this? Is haram and awful. Our business, is it like this? Is it halal? It should be halal. Our food should be halal. But our lifestyle, what is it like? There's haram. Food, haram. Business, haram. We live according to our desires. Total life of a mu'min, if we look at the sketch today, in this day and age, in this generation, it doesn't come under the definition of Allah's design orders. It's unlawful. It's unlawful. So what will happen now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned first falah. Success is a very important point. We need to listen to this. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Allah Ta'ala has ordered first, falah. F- Falah, that attain falah, and this is falah, and you need to obtain this, and this is your life, it will be the best. And may Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala, His Rahmah, His Mercy, Allah Ta'ala has explained how we can attain falah. Allah Ta'ala has straight away explained how to attain falah. So what we need to think today, mentally, here, we need to scan, as I am speaking and mentioning, we need to ask ourselves the question, that am I on the platform of falah? And then the solution that Allah Ta'ala has described in the Quran, we need to start to live our life like this to attain the falah. We'll do this, won't we? MashaAllah. Have we listened carefully to what I'm saying? You've understood what I've said until now? That's good. Now let's ask Allah. Allah, that you've ordered us, that you have given us the meaning of falah. So now, let's discuss that how we will attain falah. Our life, every second and phase and turn will pass in your obedience, Allah. So Allah says, قَدْ عَفْلَحَ مَن تَزَكَّى. SubhanAllah, the Father sitting. Is this not the verse of the Quran? Allah has given us a beautiful verse. The whole life is summarized in this, that to attain falah, what is the method? مَن تَزَكَّى. Purify your nafs, Allah says. Purify your nafs. Say, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So it's so easy. Is it difficult? Is it difficult? No. So what do we need to do is that our nafs, we need to start polishing our nafs. We need to start cleaning our nafs. What are we doing to our nafs? Allah Ta'ala said that you have to attain falah, that your life in this world will become the best and it will be the best in thereafter. SubhanAllah. So we need to do this. So nafs is a dirty thing, isn't it? How dirty is it? So we will get everything from this practice if we polish and clean the nafs, isn't it? So now Allah Ta'ala says that how does the nafs become dirty so that we have to clean it? That Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. How does the nafs get dirty? What do we need to save ourselves from or avoid so we don't get a dirty nafs? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that, look, the nafs, Allahu Akbar, that the nafs that we have, all of the things that get spoiled is done by the nafs. The nafs spoils the person's life in this world and thereafter. Allah Ta'ala says the nafs is very good, but there are two qualities. There's fujur and good. There's evil and good in the nafs. Allah Ta'ala says when the nafs becomes good, it becomes very good. But when it gets spoiled, it becomes the worst. So pay attention to this. But we don't pay attention, that we don't understand how to get a good life in this world. Thereafter, we read the Quran, we just read it. We don't look at what is the meaning of the Quran. And when we pray salah, we don't understand what is the meaning of the salah. But rather, the foundation of all of our deeds should be what? That we are purifying our nafs. We are cleaning our nafs. But our niyyah is not correct. Our intention is not correct. We're not attaining our destination. So Allah Ta'ala has stated that the reason, that what is it that spoils the nafs, our desire. So we need to now solve this problem. That the worst station of the nafs, the worst level of the nafs is what? Nafsi ammara bisu. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. That the worst situation of the nafs, Allah Ta'ala has defined as nafsi ammara. Now ammara, what is the meaning of ammara? That the thing that orders us, that orders us to do this and that. Ammara. Amr. So nafs, what does it do? That the nafs, which is the lowest level, that when a person is living his life according to and reacting to nafsi ammara, so Allah Ta'ala mentions now the description, that the person who is immersed, drowned in the life of nafsi ammara, those people where nafsi ammara has overwhelmed them, then they don't obey Allah Ta'ala's order. Whose order do they obey? Their nafs, their desire. End of story. End of story. And we will realize very easily that am I living my life according to nafsi ammara or not? Very easily we realize that person who obeys the orders of his nafs, nafs, the hukum of his nafs, then understand that person is living the life of nafsi ammara. And this is the worst condition for a human being. And if a human being dies in this condition, then he will go direct into hellfire. Direct. Due to nafsi ammara. What does nafsi ammara do? What does it do? It orders a person to follow the base desires. It orders a person to do. Don't pray salah today. Today you don't have to fast. Oh, come on, let's eat haram today. Oh, let's go look at these 40 women and let's do zana, adultery with these 40 women and do this, relationships, etc. So the nafs is given the hukum and the human being is responding to the order. Whenever a person has within thoughts of the nafs, these thoughts arise and come about within a person. When a human being has thoughts of evil and sin, bad, stealing, earning unlawfully, taking interest, doing this, doing that. When this machine is running in the mind, listen carefully, that person is the prey for the nafsi ammara. He's fallen prey to nafsi ammara. Because Allah Ta'ala said that nafsi ammara bisu, that nothing can save a person. He is running after the sin. That Allah's order, the angels, he's not responding to that. Who is making him practice his nafsi ammara and direct that person is wandering around in Jahannam. Doesn't matter how much ibadah worship he's done, because the machine that's running in him, do this, look at that woman, do zina, do this action, etc., etc. All the hakams Allah Ta'ala has said, refrain from, stop. Allah Ta'ala said, and the haram, he is not leaving the haram. He is following Allah Ta'ala's hukum and orders. Totally. Man and woman. Allah says, don't do this action. Don't do this. Don't do this. Oh, he says, where's it written? Where's it saying in the Quran you can't do this? And the verses, and the he's combating and responding. No, no, no. Why is it saying the Quran is important? Where's it say sunnah is important? Where's it say listening to Allah is important? Why? Because openly and confidently that person is listening to the orders of nafsi ammara bisu. The Quran has told us this. And the whole, everyone in the world who's listening to what I'm saying, then scan yourself. That are these thoughts are coming into your mind? Who is creating this? Nafsi ammar. The lower base desires. That machine is running. The computer's running. And the reason the person who's habitual to nafsi ammar, that wretchedness, that darkness, that habit, is that person's like a spider or a fly. Oh, it's okay, do it, doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll see afterwards what happens. And that person will carry on doing this and he'll say, I'm going to do this. He becomes so weak and weak. The person who's fallen prey to nafsi ammar, that from ammara, the highest stage is what? The person who doesn't even believe in Allah, who don't worship Allah, who don't react to Allah, who listen to Allah. But the mu'min who's got nafsi ammara. So first, group A, who don't have iman, they're different. But the group B, the people of iman, but they follow nafsi ammara. They do shirk due to the nafs. Nafs makes that person do shirk, disobey Allah. Every action of that person will not be in accordance to the Quran hadith. And the hadith, because the machine, the computer is running inside his mind and heart and is guiding that person. This is common today in the world. That, for example, there's a person who says that I don't want to fight with this person. Then the machine says, "All right, fight this person. He swore at you. Why don't you take revenge on this person? Why don't you do this action? Why don't you oppose him? Oh, go on, just do it. What difference does it make?" So whenever a wretched action is about to come, an action that will make you low, take you low, what will be making you do this? Nafsi ammara. And the person who responds and obeys nafsi ammara, understand, direct is going into hellfire. And there's no answer to this. The Quran is telling us clearly. Then there's no two ways about it. That you can make a face and a frown and do ibadah, Kaaba's in front of you. But if inside this machine is running, this computer, that do this haram, do this wrong, evil, wrong action, etc., etc., and nafs makes you do that. Nafs makes you do that. Oh no, I want to do this today. I need to disobey today. He has a light, light dialogue and it will make you sit down. And eventually, even in the night, it will make you do the wrong action and it will make you do the sin. And a person who has this sort of thought and lifestyle and desire, man or woman, brother or sister, and the life is being controlled by nafs ammara. We say, oh, a jinn's come in his life, he's possessed, and is nazar on his life, give taweez. Is this something to solve with taweez? What is the taweez for nazar? What is the taweez for the jinnat and evil? And saying, okay, that's fine for children. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us guidance that sometimes the shayateen and the jinnat, they affect a child. The walis will have given water, etc. But old people who don't pray salah, don't follow sharia, don't follow the orders of Allah, accept Allah's orders and run after women and girls in the day, oh, give taweez for nazar, or for this, or please solve this problem. People come to me for this, don't they? And if you tell them that, look brother, that you yourself, your lifestyle is wrong, the jinn has gone into you, your nafsi ammara, that's overwhelmed you, are you worried about this? Have worry for the hereafter, because you're a mushrik, you're doing shirk. And if you tell the person this, then they start grabbing you the next, I'm doing this. And that wali of Allah has given you the correct nasiha and advice, that what game are you playing? And you want jinn to come out and my work is not successful, my shop, my business is not succeeding. Think that it's because you are a mushrik, that you are not controlled by Allah at this moment, not by Quran, not by Sharia and Hadith, not by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You are controlled by something else. What is that? Your own self. You have desires in your mind and your heart and you follow those desires. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That the whole life we are in control by our nafs. Now I'm sitting here and you're sitting here. I don't know what you're thinking in your mind, your heart. I'm going to steal when I leave this gathering. I'm going to burgle somebody's house. I'm going to commit fraud with somebody. We're sitting here, we're speaking, and he's thinking, I'm going to deceive that person and do fraud. He's standing in front of you. And after a while you see that person, he suddenly changed. What action is he doing? What's he doing? Because nafs is making him do the action. Nafsi ammara. From within he was prepared that, oh, I'm going to kill this person. Or I'm going to beat this person. Etc. That Hazrat Mulana Yusuf Ludhianwi Sahib Rahmatullahi, his son tells us himself, he was there in the car. Why did that person make him shaheed? He said, I don't want to kill you. Yes, what a great personality he was. What a great personality. He was an alim, an amil, Hazrat Mulana Yusuf Ludhianwi Sahib. So when this situation occurred, and the criminal said, I don't want to kill you, I don't want to hit you, and in his hand was the weapon. But he said, what can I do? Who is controlling me? Who's controlling me? That sorry, apologize, and he killed Mulana Sahib. So in the same way, the nafs will make a person do zina, adultery. That this is the amal, oh God, run after the woman, kidnap her, do this with her, etc. And if we look at the situation that a mu'min, a believer, has been given instruction step by step how to live the life. We say, eat haram, take interest, make business upon interest. And he knows, that person, that all of this that I am doing, this has no link with my akhirah, with my hereafter. There's no goodness in this world. He knows everything. The believer, that woman knows that there's no goodness for me in the world. But still she's walking around immodest, in a bad way, in a bad situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nafsi ammara, totally we've understood. So now whenever these thoughts are overwhelming us, then straight away understand what is happening. Ah, make a stand then straight away that I'm not this. I shouldn't be like this. But oh, the nafs has caught to me, entrapped me. And when does the nafs trap a person? At that time when a person, he becomes so weak, so weak. He's sitting with impure people, evil people, having company of sinners. He doesn't sit with people on the deen, not good actions. Then totally, that is why it's stated that save your children from these places, from an environment, a bad environment. But today we have such a big environment, it's very difficult to save ourselves nowadays. Where does it start from? Where does the game start from? That, you know, that we've been attacked from the young life. We see, oh, you know, that behind the veils, our bad situation is revolving. Many people have done tawbah. They say, we can't forget our young life. We pray salah and do dhikr. We keep on remembering our young life. So what? Let me speak about that to you now. Now listen to about this clearly. That, do you understand what I've said before now, my friends? Fine. Okay, now let's do analysis that what hal am I in now that I should open my eyes wide straight away and solve the problem. So the first stage is the worst stage. Allah Ta'ala stated that the insan, the second stage comes about and the nafs changes. How? That every insan, every human being, every mu'min, Allah Ta'ala says, I give a chance. Allah Ta'ala loves the mu'min, whether given the old age or the young age or youth or middle age. Allah says, this is my sunnah, that everyone, I want to save them from hellfire. Allah says, why? Because I know that you are the ummah of my Habib, and Rasulullah SAW will ask and question in the hereafter that I want this person to be forgiven, and he will extract everyone from Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala says, his ummati, first and foremost, I prepare him that he will be saved from Jahannam before that. Allah wants this. And then the next stage, Allah Ta'ala has defined that from this word, nafsi ammara. How do we change nafsi ammara and make it better? How do we come out of this jungle, this dense jungle of sin and darkness? Allah Ta'ala automatically prepares for the human being. And this is called rahmat ilahi and fadl ilahi. And what is this? Allah's mercy and Allah's fadl. Allah's grace and His mercy. Any time in our life, Allah Ta'ala can give us this. A person's immersed and drowning in nafsi ammara and living the wrong life, then Allah Ta'ala instills in the heart of a person or in the life of a person such an event, such a thought that can make that person change and come out of nafsi ammara to, this is a nafsi ammara. What is the other nafs? Nafsi lawwama. This is also in the Quran. Allah says, subhanAllah. This is all there. So to change this, what does Allah Ta'ala do? SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala takes the person to that maqam, to that station, that suddenly the mu'min's eye opens. And if he understands Allah Ta'ala's message and Allah's mercy, and he accepts, Allah Ta'ala gives a chance. Allah Ta'ala doesn't force a person, remember this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't force anybody. No, Allah Ta'ala delivers that person to that situation where he can accept. So his heart, the feeling in his heart, and then the heart makes the person follow and practice in the way that the condition of the heart is. But after a person listens, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he won't fall trapped to deceit now. He'll say, ah, he'll understand. Allah Ta'ala has given me a chance. This is tafsir of the Quran. If somebody today told us many years before, then we would have started to take advantage many, many, many years ago. So what happens then? Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you a chance. What chance? There are two things that Allah Ta'ala says. The first and foremost, what happens is that I will send that person to the company of my friend. SubhanAllah. Some way, Allah Ta'ala says, I want to introduce that person to my friend. Whether it's a tea party, a tea function, masjid, outside, somewhere in the dunya, somehow your car will be punctured, the wali wala will come past, help you. There are many tariqas, many ways in which Allah Ta'ala will take that person who's living the life of nafsi ammara to the wali of Allah, to Allah's friend. And if that person who's living the life of nafsi ammara stops for a sudden, stops and thinks, ah, yeah, there's a point here. But if he doesn't listen, then he will drown. But if he listens, when he comes to the company in the sohbat of Allah's wali of the pious person, then Allah says, this man now. Alhamdulillah, as soon as he's trapped in his jal, in his net, alhamdulillah, after that, in his life, some changes and improvements will come. And then the Quran will explain what is that change. Allah Ta'ala says that with those changes, what does he become? Nafsi Ammara takes him to what? Nafsi Lawwama. Nafsi Lawwama. And Allah Ta'ala says that this position of Nafsi Ammara, which will go to Nafsi Lawwama, Allah Ta'ala says, imagine, La Uqsim, Allah Ta'ala says Nafsi Ammara. That, subhanAllah, that Allah Ta'ala says that the Nafs Ammara, which is worst and dark, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't like it. This Nafs, that person, if he wants to improve, he desires to improve. He hasn't improved yet. He desires to improve. Allah Ta'ala says that on this intention, Allah Akbar, Allah says, La Uqsimu. That I swear by nafsi lawwama. Allah Akbar, La Uqsimu bi yawmil qiyamah. Wa La Uqsimu bin nafsi lawwama. Allah says, no, I swear by the accusing soul. Allah Akbar, that this scripture is true. So we need to see, where are we? Inshallah, we are not in the position of nafsi ammara today. So now let's see, what is nafsi lawwama? So when a person is in nafsi ammara, the first, the darkened position, the dark stage, and then nafsi lawwama, the person comes into the right position, he sits with the company of his shaykh, and he starts doing dhikr. When a person starts to do the dhikr of Allah, so then the person who was drowned in nafsi ammara, so then he starts to release himself from nafsi ammara, and he starts to cut the chain of nafsi ammara, and he comes into a good new position. He looks back, because remember I said the thoughts that swirl around in a person's mind, he's acting out the wrong actions, he's done wrong things in his life, and Allah Ta'ala says there's a secret between Allah and his servant. When a person's committed sins in his life in such a young age, such bad actions of shaitan, that he cannot say to people, whose nafsi ammara is an animal, a wild beast. It's the worst thing. So when a person leaves nafsi ammara, his young life and the bad actions, then Allah says, when you come to nafsi lawwama, Allah says, I will erase your memories, your old life, the young life, your sinful life. Allah says, you will have no link with this now. Allah says, I will take you to the maqam of gratefulness. Allah says, listen, you were this before, but now you've come to this situation. Yes, so the person who has these thoughts, Mubarak, congratulations, whose Allah Ta'ala is giving you the maqam of shukr, of gratefulness, so that you can be ongoing, happy so much. He'll say, alhamdulillah, so much difference is here. Why? Because one thought that's come into his mind that Allah Ta'ala prefers, is that one habit comes to that person's life, and that he starts to recognize the sins. Those sins that he implemented with enjoyment in the time before that. Now he looks at that sin with regret and remorse and shame, and feeling deep remorse, and he thinks himself as an animal, and he says, no, this is wrong. And then he turns to Allah and says, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. So this is nafsi ammara. That goes to then nafsi lawwama. Nafsi lawwama. So he had darkness, sin, distress, problems, issues. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I love you, I brought you to nafsi lawwama. Subhanallah, he improves his life and says, Allah, I lived a life of drama, I did haram and unlawful actions, like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in a verse. What is that verse? Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says that the immodest actions that you implemented, the people who aren't aware, and they do dhulam, oppress their souls, and they do actions of darkness, but after doing immodest actions and dhulam, they turn to Allah and ask Allah for maghfirah, for forgiveness. Allah says, who will forgive you? Allah says, I've forgiven all of your sins. All of your sins. So nafsi ammara then goes to nafsi lawwama, the good stage that person then goes through. Are we passing through this stage? At least inshallah we've reached to this stage. We've worked a bit hard, sat in the company of my shaykh, and we've come into this phase. We feel regret and remorse and badness on the sins. We remember the old age. We cry. We wasted time. If only we'd come earlier. If only we'd learnt earlier. If this tape is running, this reel is running inside your mind and heart, then alhamdulillah has given us that nafs through which Allah is very happy. And this is a beautiful stage, a great stage to be in. So this is a good piece of news for insan, that Allah Ta'ala has taken us out of that situation. We lived our lives like animals. We were mad. We were crazy. When we looked at someone wearing an imamah, we used to laugh at him. Oh, look at Mulana Sahab, look at him. We saw somebody's beard, we'd give him names. Mulana and this, and we become a kafir by saying this. We didn't even know that these bad words were uttering from our mouths, from our tongues. They are making us disbelievers. We are criticizing the sunnah. Openly we were criticizing sunnah, laughing. Oh, you got a beard. Oh, why have you made this appearance? Oh, look at this attire. What are you this? You think you're something? Oh, mulate. Oh, the caretaker of the masjid, or this of the masjid. Don't people laugh and joke like this? Such halat and conditions, and then alhamdulillah, that person's life improves for the better, and then that person sets himself, and after changing the nafs al-lawwama, when a person gets to that phase, then Allah says, I create an understanding, an awareness, and the regret comes, the shame comes, and he improves and improves, and then he leaves the sins, and he remembers Allah, and he remembers Allah more, abundance, kathir and kathira. Why? Because when he remembers what he did which was wrong in life, he asks Allah for forgiveness. Allah says, when he asks for forgiveness, then I keep on dragging him, pulling on him, and dragging him. An ajeeb relationship develops with that insan. Subhanallah. Why? Because here the person has sinned. Nafsa lawama, there is sin. But after the sin, there's regret and remorse. The person's ashamed in presenting himself to his sheikh, and he's now recognized. He used to laugh at people. Oh, peer, you're there. So you're running after the peer. You keep on, you think you're practicing Islam. You're imitating that peer. People mock him. Parents mock the child. Why are you imitating this person? Why are you calling him the sheikh? Why don't you wear? Why are you wearing this? You're backward now. You've gone back in time. Then what happens? Alhamdulillah, that same peer, that same sheikh, subhanAllah, becomes so close and great in the eyes and the heart of that person, the student. When he commits a sin, the student, he says, oh, I don't want to show my face to my sheikh. Then what happens? Then he runs after forgiveness and regret. And Musallah says, the best heart that I like is that after sinning, that heart breaks. And then he tries to join and mend that broken heart. Rather, higher than that, he says, that Allah says, that is where my mercy is, in broken hearts. In broken hearts. Alhamdulillah, this is a great maqam, a stage that a person gets to. What is this? What is the barakah of? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. This is what it gives us. So how important this is. Look, brothers. Now, the third thing. That in this, alhamdulillah, when a person makes effort in the right way, he has the link and connection with the sheikh. And what is the link with the sheikh? Whatever the sheikh says, he implements that. Whatever the sheikh says, he does. Whatever the sheikh explains, he does the same thing. Yani, then he doesn't shake or shudder. And the link with the sheikh is established. And the wazaif, the lessons and the dhikr, the prescription, he does the same. And he has the link of the love and the qaid with the sheikh. And then if the student is steadfast on this and he does dhikr of Allah, at the same time Allah says, I have taken him out of then the second stage, nafs al-lawwama. Nafs al-lawwama, I will take him out of there also. And then I will give him such a great maqam, the best, the highest station, the best platform, which is called nafs mutma'inna. Mutma'inna, this is the highest stage. What is the sign of nafs al-mutma'inna, my friends? So we understood nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawama. When a person reaches to nafs al-mutma'inna, may Allah Ta'ala allow us, I thought that maybe you all already there except for me. May Allah Ta'ala deliver me to that great station as well. Great platform. What is that maqam? Nafs al-mutma'inna. That then that person, at that time, not a second of his life, not a second of that person's life will pass in opposition to Allah's desire. Every second will be according to Allah's ahkams, Allah's orders, Allah's pleasures. No one action of that mu'min will be against Allah Ta'ala's decision and desire. It doesn't matter how much loss he earns, how many problems he earns. The whole dunya could be one side, but he'll say, no, it's too hard for me. I cannot do these actions. I just have to obey Allah. So where has he been raised up from? He was an animal, a wild beast. Allah Ta'ala took him to the maqam that you are going out of hand now. And his footsteps are not going towards Allah Ta'ala's deen. My body, my feelings, my emotions at that time of nafs amara were not obeying Allah. Then that person gets to every second, every desire is in accordance to Sharia. When the person elevates himself to what? Nafs al-mutma'inna. Subhanallah. What a great life. That Allah Ta'ala says that life of waste is gone to the side. And then the person looks at dunya and feels regret. And he has a sort of dislike for the dunya at that time. That why did I waste so much of my time? What are people doing? They're wasting their time. Because his life then takes hold of a beautiful, great platform, objective and desire. And this path is our destination. Allah Ta'ala has given us his fadl, his karam. That we were animals, wild beasts, the worst. Allah Ta'ala raised us up, picked us up off the ground. Picked our faces up off the ground, and then we travel towards this destination of Allah. So brothers, we are on this journey. We have to be careful. We all have courage and capability, determination. We should say, Allah, you've given us the message, you show us the path. Now it's our choice that do we die in nafsal amara, the worst, or lawama, or do we try in our life to attain the best stage, nafsal mutma'inna. And when a person gets to this stage, the final stage, the greatest stage, then he has a feeling that that thing which that stopped him in nafs-e ammara, and he couldn't do good deeds in nafs-e ammara, and that when he came to nafs al-lawwama, when he starts to practice and implement Allah Ta'ala's orders, then when he feels the peace and satisfaction, only he knows how much beautiful peace he feels in Allah. He said, I was so foolish. I didn't fulfill Allah's orders. It was my mistake. For example, Sharia has told us to keep the beard. Isn't it? Sharia has told us to keep the beard. Like Allah Ta'ala said to the women, observe parda. Yes, the ahkams, orders that are upon us, that do this. Allah Ta'ala's ahkams and orders. Now what do we do here? How is our reaction? Nafs. Nafsi Amara doesn't allow us to come here. The person who doesn't observe, keep the bed, the person who doesn't observe parda, who's stopping him? Or her? Nafsi Amara, the base desires. Then we come to Nafsul Lawama. Then he says, oh, what shall I do? So the person starts to clash with the nafs. Should I do this or not? Shall I keep the bed or not? Shall I wear the imam or not? There's a clash inside. I'll do this today, no, tomorrow, tomorrow. And he's fighting and tussling. Then when Allah Ta'ala picks him up from that, Nafsul Lawama, Allah gives him tawfiq, that he's fighting with his nafs and desires, a clash and opposition to the Nafsul Lawama. When he reaches to that stage that he then implements that amal, that action, then he says, suddenly, alhamdulillah, this was the greatest life, ya. The best. And I was afraid for no reason. That dunya didn't say nothing to me. That I've got my beard here in the Western Hemisphere. And people say, you've got no light on your face. You look good. Congratulations. Somebody giving me sweets and Maulana subtitle. I'm getting good titles. You say, oh, how much time I wasted in my life. I used to deceive myself. Now my sins deceive me. This is reality. The person who doesn't do, then he comes to amal. He has so much peace and contentment. And he reaches to Jannah. Alhamdulillah, what a great reward. And I was in deceit for no reason. Look what I've done. What sins are committed. When he looks back, he says, so many years you were living your life without this amal. Oh, he becomes extremely remorseful and regret. He comes to that stage that he didn't want to practice. There was once upon a time a day he didn't want to do anything. Then when he implements the deeds, he says, oh, yar, take your imam off. He says, no, 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 this can happen. For the sake of Allah, please don't ask me to do this. This is very difficult for me to do. Very difficult. Now you're all sitting here. All of you. Is anybody stopping you? Is there something forcing you? You will say, okay, shave your beard. Trim your beard. You'll say, please leave this masjid. Don't say this to me again. Don't say this to me. You'll have anger inside you, won't you? You'll feel anger. Even if your father says, shave your beard, what will be your hal? That, can you imagine? Will you respond? Will you obey? You'll say, what is this? Before you'd say, oh yeah, okay, dad, I'll do this. And now you run away. You say, no, please don't tell me this. Because nafsi ammara became nafsul lawama. And then it came to nafsi mutamainna. And your whole life will be full of atmanan and peace, contentment. And this is mutamainna, the highest grade. That person becomes mutamain. He's totally at peace and content and happy with whatever Allah says. He says, Allah, you keep telling me, I'll do. You keep telling me, I'll do. You keep telling me, I'll do. His life is full of peace and happiness. And there's no distance between Allah's order and his implementation or her implementation. So let's imagine that today we are not accepting. We're not believing. We're still trapped in nafsi ammara or lawama. If we start to accept and implement and a day, then it will be just like that. When I keep the beard and someone says to me, you know, cut the beard now, and you say, no way, you'll give everything away, but you won't cut the beard. So in the same way, if we are not implementing the deen today, if we have courage and determination and we leave haram and awful things, we take dunya out of our hearts and foolish words, and we control our tongues, then tomorrow we will even feel this, the yar, we would be big mistakes, and then inshallah that we will see the life so clearly. And whatever order is given to us, if someone says, hey, take interest and riba and awful things, will be at that stage. You say, what nonsense are you speaking? I can't do this. I'm happy in my life in obeying Allah. So my brothers, these are the stages of life and the deen that I've requested from you, presented to you. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we understand the reality of our lives. Because deen is a logical path. The deen, the religion of Islam, very simple, logical path. Allah's deen is so straightforward. This is such a deen that to understand deen, you don't have to be an alim. You don't have to be a scholar or teach jurisprudence or fiqh. Allah Ta'ala says that deen belongs to everyone. Poor man, and educated, illiterate, uneducated, rich, poor. When this ilm reaches to a person, he understands, yes, I need to follow this deen and path. And then the deen becomes easy for that person. And it's simple. So brothers, these words we've discussed, every state we need to analyze ourselves and measure ourselves. If we are doing something bad, we are in the station of nafsi ammara. And the cure is dhikr of Allah kathir and kathir. Allah says in the Quran that if my nafsi ammara or lawama is telling me to do wrong, so when these people have bad thoughts, then straight away they run towards me and they start my dhikr. This is the verse of the Quran, it's not come to my mind. That those people who are immodest and do dhulm on their lives, then straight away they turn to me and start my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, my dhikr, they start. Allah says, I forgive them. I forgive them. So when this stage passes by us and we're stuck, and we are stuck in both nafsi amara and lawama, we should start doing dhikr of Allah in abundance. And then until we don't get to that station, nafsi al-mutmainna, we should know that the enemy is whispering in my ear, in my heart. It's not me, Allah. This is not my real me. This is not the real me, but the bad thoughts in my mind, they're against Sharia and against the Sunnah. So how can this be Allah? I disobey you and I do wrong actions. No, this is not me. This is my enemy that's telling me I will do this action. For example, you are walking and someone says, listen brother, you say yes. Oh, you know we're friends. Yes, yes, we know each other, mashallah. Well, how are you? Oh, come on, let's kill this person. You say, what are you talking about? How can we? Oh, go on, let's steal from this person. You say, what are you talking about? Will you listen to that person? From inside, we don't accept. So why inside our hearts, we say this, or we say in our hearts, oh, let's leave salah. You're going to pray salah. And where are you going? Oh, let's leave it, let's go to the cinema and watch a film. Oh, it's a waste of time, praying salah all the time. I pray, I'll leave it today. So don't we say this inside? So when the nafs says, oh, just keep sleeping, don't pray fajr. When you can't wake up for fajr, who doesn't let us come for fajr? Nafs al-lawwama. Then what should we do? We should clash and say, Allah, 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 Allah. And do the tasbih, Allah, 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 Allah. Say, no, 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 I'm going to fajr and pray salah. Pray salah. So Allah Ta'ala, subhanAllah, Allah's rahmah and fadl is such that even if the illness of amara and lawama, we'll get the guidance. And when we get to the stage of nafsul mutmainna, may Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.